Elizabeth Elliot studied Greek in college with the goal of working as a Bible translator. Elizabeth took her 3-year-old daughter, Valerie, and they lived among the same Indian tribe that had killed her husband. Here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth shares with us the insights from her remarkable journey as a daughter, mother, wife, widow, and missionary. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. A wonderfully steadying, fortifying set of verses, aren't they? Loved with an everlasting love, and underneath are the everlasting arms. I can't think of a safer place to be, and I'm glad that that is where I can be if I pray, Thy will be done. And I'm going right on today talking about that phrase in the Lord's Prayer, Thy will be done. Now, the verse of Scripture that I ended my last talk with, Ephesians 4, 1 and 2, be humble always and gentle and patient too. Be forbearing with one another and charitable. Does that apply to a woman in the work world, for example? Does it apply to a man who has a lot of power, who is aiming for a lot of money, who wants to provide his family with all possible enjoyments and maybe luxuries? Well, the first verse in Ephesians 4 says, as God has called you, live up to your calling. If you're convinced that where you are in the work world is your calling, if there is no question in your mind that God has put you there, then can there be any question in your mind that these commands apply to you? Would you say that the Scriptures are not relevant? Would you tell me, well, you can't be humble in today's world, not if you're going to keep your job. You can't be gentle, not if you're going to make money. They're going to walk all over you. You can't be patient. You can't be forbearing when people do things that are wrong against you. Again, I point you to Jesus Christ. He was humble, gentle, patient, forbearing, and the last command is charitable or loving. Was he ever wronged? Was he misunderstood, challenged, argued with? Are you going to tell me that what Jesus did is impossible for us? I would agree that it is absolutely impossible without his help, but he wants to help us. If we will say, Thy will be done, Lord, I want your way. I want to do it your way. That's what Thy will be done means. That's what we're asking. Janet Erskine Stewart wrote, we are not at our best when we are most exuberant, most impetuous, most abounding, most enthusiastic, most eager. But we are at our best when we are pulling most gravely, steadily, courageously in our appointed duties. When we are almost swamped by difficulties, weariness, seeming impossibilities, but all the time with our face bravely turned towards eternity, our heart lovingly towards God, and our will determined to fight and fight to the death. Now here's the answer to a mother's question. What can we do to help and encourage children to total surrender to Christ? There's so much junk that our kids are bombarded with every day that it seems an impossible task. Well, I would agree you're right about the junk. It does seem an impossible task. But what can we do? What can a mother do? What can parents do? Start with ourselves. Pray for God's will, which means a readiness to crucify personal desires, to lay down ambitions, plans, preferences. Just a few days ago, I read to you from a secular magazine a very sane and sensible article by an ambitious man who was hoping to win the Pulitzer Prize in journalism. And he was having to give up that ambition because, now get this, he had become a father. Well, why should that make any difference? He discovered it made a huge difference. He didn't want to just give his children quality time. He saw that quality time with a child is quantity time. You've got to give them time. None of this quality time stuff. We must crucify personal desire, ambitions, plans, preferences, affections, anything which makes me a separate and self-acting entity instead of a living member of the body of Christ. We're members one of another. We are instruments of righteousness. We are parts of a body. Christians belong to the body, which is the body of Christ. As a member of the body, my finger is responsible to handle these 3x5 cards that I'm looking at as I'm talking to you. My brain is responsible to do its job of thinking. My eyes must do their job of seeing, or there wouldn't be a program, would there? We are members one of another. And so, in order to become living members of the body of Christ, we must deny ourselves and take up the cross. We're not separate, self-acting entities. To be a Christian is complete identification with Him whose name we take. Christian means those that belong to Christ. A complete identification with Christ in His death. Now, does that sound like extremely esoteric, theological language? Oh, that's way over my head. I'm just a practical person. You know, I don't really understand theology. I never have been very interested in theology. What I like is practical Christianity. Well, let me quote to you from my second husband, Addison Leach, who was a philosopher and a theologian. He used to say, all our problems are theological ones. And the more I try to live a Christian life, the more I realize that that's very accurate. And if my theology is not practical, ladies and gentlemen, my theology ain't theology. Because theology is the study of who God is. And God is interested in every detail of my life. God is interested in the atoms and the molecules. Why wouldn't He be interested in the little things in my life? It's the little things that make up the big things, isn't it? So this kind of abandonment that I'm talking about, crucifying the flesh, denying the self, it's not learned through big tests primarily. It's learned through the little things that bother us, the trivialities. Show your children what surrender means. I don't mean by surrendering to them. Demonstrate it by sticking to your guns when they protest. You are surrendering not to them, but to God. It's hard to discipline children, isn't it? It's hard for any mother to spank a child. But she must explain to her child it's for God. It's in obedience to God in order that that child will grow up understanding discipline, in order that they may accept God's discipline. Show your child your surrender to your husband's wishes. There will be peace in the family. I would strongly urge you to keep a family prayer notebook. Talk about the will of God. Ask for the will of God in this or that or the other thing, and write it down. Then it's a wonderful exercise to review the answers. In what way did God's will get done in a particular thing that you prayed about? Was it what you expected? Was it better? Was it worse? Don't be afraid to talk about it, if it was worse. Explain to your children why you refuse to have a TV in the house, why you will not buy a Nintendo set, why you will not allow them to wear Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles sweatshirts. Now, don't go out and quote me and say, Elizabeth Elliot says, television is a sin, a Ninja Turtle sweatshirt is evil. I didn't say that. But if a Christian parent makes the decision that it would be much more peaceful and conducive to reading and learning in the home if they didn't have a TV, and they decide that they do not want to spend their money on Nintendos and Ninja Turtles, explain to your children why. You love them. It's a hard lesson. There is no easy way to die to yourself. Then point to Jesus. What did he do in order to accomplish the Father's will? Point to the athletes. How do they become champions? By discipline. By saying no to themselves. By saying, "Thy will be done," to the coach. Of course, no athlete says that literally. But that's what he's doing, isn't it? He's doing somebody else's will. Because he knows that in the end, he's going to accomplish what he wants to accomplish, which is to be the football player or the tennis star. Explain to your children that they can't do all the things that the other kids do. Why? Because they have different goals. Because we're Christians. Because we listen to a different master and we're headed for a different country. Now, there's no tension at all when God's will and mine agree, is there? You hardly even perceive that you've submitted to God's will. But it's most often in the things which contradict our wills that we learn what self-denial means. That's when those words of the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done," become enormously significant. Nearly always, the will of God is going to be accompanied by suffering, in order that we may learn the full acceptance of his tremendous demands on us.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.